Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, this morning, before we jump into the message, still school holidays, and the kids are in with us. And actually, kids, I don't know, has everyone got a copy of our little sheet for the morning? See if you can fill it in. But before we jump into the word this morning, we're going to we're starting a new series this morning. But before we do, we're going to watch a little clip. I love these clips, in case you hadn't already realised. And it kind of introduces us to what's happening at this point in the Word. And let's turn our eyes to the screen now as we have a little look. Thanks, guys.
This is Saul. Saul was a Pharisee who hated the followers of Jesus so much that he would hunt them down to be brought to trial in Jerusalem. And he would even seek to murder them. Saul was uttering threats with every breath, and he was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He asked him to write a letter to the Jews in Damascus that would allow him to arrest any Christians he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Now Saul went on his way. And as he came near Damascus, a light from heaven flashed around him, and he heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul cried out, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus. Rise and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." So Saul got up and he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see anything. So the men who were with Saul led him into the city. After 3 days, a man named Ananias came to Saul. He put his hands on Saul, and immediately Saul could see again. And with that, Saul became a follower of Jesus. He became the very thing he had tried to hunt. And he immediately began telling people that Jesus is the Son of God, and he taught them about the mercy of God that he had received. And all who heard him were amazed. He then went by a new name, Paul, as he began preaching not just to the Jewish people, but to everyone. Despite many difficulties like being imprisoned, shipwrecked, and narrowly escaping death multiple times, Paul continued to preach about Jesus. Paul said that he would do everything he could to save people and help them know God. And that's just what he did in order to reach people who would otherwise be unreached. And many came to know Jesus because of what Paul said. Paul taught many in his day through his letters. But even more have come to learn more about Jesus through the letters of Paul that can be read even to this day.
Fantastic. And we're going to read one of them today as we start this new series. We're going to be looking at one of the letters that Paul wrote at that time. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians. And I know this term in kids' church, they're not doing Colossians, but they're looking at the book of Acts. And some of the stories in the book of Acts. So kids, this is what was happening at the time. This is what Paul's writing at that time. You're going to be reading about and hearing about in kids' church this year. This term. And as I mentioned, kids' church, I just want to say we have a wonderful problem right now. So many kids and not enough group leaders and teachers to help with our kids. We have, I think we had 50 kids through the program last term. And we are very happy to have some people come and even just come and experience, come for a kids' church experience. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I'm not seeing as many excited faces as I was expecting, but come for a kids' church experience and see what kids' church is like, and then maybe after that you'll be like, please sign me up, Deidre, give me a wave. And you'll go and see Deidre and be like, Deidre, please, can I be a part of this? It'll be wonderful. How about we pray? Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed with the privilege we have to have your word in our hands, that we can read it, that we can learn about you through your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who have fought and died for us to be able to receive your word passed on from one to another and to us here today. Lord, we thank you for this book of Colossians, this letter that you inspired Paul to write and that you have included in your word. And we just thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that, Lord, you go with us everywhere. Your Spirit is with us and you remind us of your words. And we pray that you would take these words that we read through this series and bring them to our remembrance, Lord, as we go forward in life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to the book of Colossians. If you've got your Bible, I encourage you to open up. If you haven't got your Bible, I want to encourage you to bring it with you to church so you can read and check what I say. Just because I'm the pastor, don't think that everything I say is good and true. Check it out. Test it. Make sure that it's God's word. You can read it on the screen, but bring your Bible. It's good to have. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read from 1 to 14. This letter is from Paul, as I said, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want to pause there and point out that Paul had quite likely never met the people of Colossae. He didn't go and preach them. He wasn't the one that shared the gospel with them, but he had heard about their faith. May God our Father give you grace and peace. Verse 3. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Can I just pause there for a moment? Point number one. Kids, got your pens ready? Faith changes lives. Whatever you put your faith in will change your life. If you put your faith in the fact that watching Ninjago will make you happy, you'll watch lots of Ninjago. Faith changes, excuse me, God, let my voice continue. Faith affects your life. Whatever you put your faith in changes how you act, how you behave. If you put your faith in being a fit, healthy person, you're going to put your faith in it. You train hard, you do all the things that you do because you think that's what will give you life. Maybe you put your faith in Netflix to give you a escape at the end of a busy day. Maybe you put your faith in feeling good about yourself because of likes you get on social media. Or maybe it's just simply getting people to like us. If we put our faith in those things, it changes the way we behave. We live differently. Maybe it's always easy to look at the other people around us, isn't it? And go, yeah, that person, they put their faith in that. Yeah, that person at school I went to school with, they put their faith in this. But I wonder what the mirror shows us today. Faith changes lives. Have a listen again to verse 4 and 5. It says, remember, he hasn't been there. He says, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope. And what is confident hope? It's faith. Faith is the confident hope that we have of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You know, when we trust that Jesus Christ is our Savior, when we put our faith in Him, our confident hope is in Him, it changes who we are. And that confident hope, that faith, produces a love for one another that we don't produce in ourselves, but faith in Jesus changes us. It changes how we live. It changes how we behave. Let's keep reading. Faith in Jesus changes lives. Your faith in Jesus changes not just your life, but those around you too. Kids, if you didn't hear that, faith in Jesus changes lives. There we go. I'm going to try and help you out this morning. If our faith is in Jesus, we don't have to try to become a good Christian. If we put our faith in Jesus, if we trust in Him, our faith in Him changes us. We don't have to try to earn God's forgiveness. We receive His forgiveness through faith. We're going to talk a bit more about that later. But faith in Jesus changes us. Imagine for a moment that you ate, let's say, what we all pick on, Maccas. Imagine you ate Maccas, breakfast, lunch and dinner, every day for a whole year. Sorry, if anyone works there. Lovely coffee. Imagine for a moment all you ate was burgers. That's all you could get your hands on. Let's see if I can... There. Anyway, imagine that's the only thing you ate for an entire year. Burgers for breakfast, burgers for lunch, burgers for dinner, burgers for supper, burgers for brunch, breakfast, elevensies. Burgers. By the end of the year, I'm a little worried what you may feel like. You may have had some visits to the doctor. Imagine for a moment you only ate carrots for an entire year. Matt. Imagine for a moment you only ate lollies for an entire year. What you eat affects you. It changes you. It may feel like a small decision to eat something, but if you continue to eat the same thing every day, one block of chocolate at a time, one block of chocolate at a time, whatever it is for you, it changes us. I've been reading a book over the last... If I keep quoting this book, you're going to go, Andrew takes a long time to read a book. So I'll just say I've been reading a book, and it's talking about the habits we have in life. And one of the blessings I've had over the last 10 months is through not being able to ride my bike, I've looked for some other ways to exercise, and I found the dumbbells I've had. And look, you probably can't see any difference, but I feel stronger. Because I'm doing these little 5-minute workouts. I'm getting them out and I'm doing my presses and I'm doing my curls and I'm doing my presses and it makes a difference. 3 minutes a day. And I'm like, wow, this is actually making a difference to my life. I feel better. Try it. It's good. Now I'm adding the stretches to my life because 3 minutes of stretching a day, I reckon it can help me. Where was I? What we eat affects us. I should have it up there, but the simple things we do every day change our lives. Oh, it is up there, kind of. It's the little things we do every day that change our lives. I think some of us need to hear that. We don't need to wait for the big thing that's going to solve the issue. It's the little things we do every day that change our lives. You know, Paul says this same good news about putting our faith in Jesus is going out all over the world and it is bearing fruit everywhere. Does it say, and you are bearing fruit because you're working really hard? No. It says this good news is going out and it is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives just as it changed yours. You know, God wants to make a change in our life. But it doesn't come by us trying to be a better person. It comes by trusting in Him. If we want to live a life that honors God, if we want to live a life that changes the world, maybe you want to be a planet shaker, you want to be a world changer, you want to make a difference in this world for God, put your faith in Jesus. It's that simple. Put your faith in Jesus. Now, maybe you're asking yourself, you know, Andrew, that sounds great, but I know how to do stretches, I know how to do weights, but how do I put my faith in Jesus? What does that look like? And I want to give you three simple things that you can do. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, 100 years old, or anywhere up or below of those things. You can do this. Well, the first one's hard if you can't read. But number one, read His Word every day. Read the Bible. The Bible is God's Word to us, and it is powerful and effective. If you read His Word every day for a year, you will be different. You will be changed. We have a CFC Bible reading plan, and I praise God that they keep disappearing up the back there. Grab them all, take them home, give them out. I don't care, we'll print more. We need God's Word in our life. If we are going to live by faith, you might be 12 years old, you might be 22. If we are not reading God's Word, it is so hard to live by faith. Because we forget what He says. And we need His input in our life day by day through His Word. If you want to change the world, spend 5 minutes reading the Bible every day. Spend 15 if you can. Then pray for a while. Read His Word, but start with 2 minutes. I've probably said this before, but I used to work at the pool and I'd start at 5:30 in the morning, and I sort of think any time before 6 a.m. is almost ungodly. But I would open up the Bible and I would just say, God, I want to read a verse, just something to remind me of who You are before I go to work this morning. And I'd just read a verse before I ran out the door, just to stop and say, God, I want to base my life on Your Word. And sometimes I'd read it and go, I have no idea how that applies to my life today, but I've come to Your Word, God, and I want to live in Your Word. Try it out. Have a go. If you want to put your faith in Jesus, number two, talk to Him. Talk to God. Pray, in other words. Talk to Him. Develop patterns in your life of talking to Him when you get up in the morning. Thank You, God, for this day. As your feet hit the ground, say, God, lead me every step I take today. I love the fact that as a family, we have times in our family life that we stop and we pray. We say grace, not because we have to, but it's a reminder for us to stop and to give thanks. And as we go for a drive somewhere, I normally try and remember if the car isn't too loud and crazy. Even if it is, I'll just pray by myself. But Lord, lead us in this trip today. Use us to share Your love with people. God, guide us. Keep us safe. Develop patterns in your life. When you walk through the gates of school, when you arrive at work and park the car, say, Lord, lead me today. Guide me today. As you pick up the phone to make that hard phone call at work, say, God, give me Your words to speak to this person. As you go through your day, Lord, help me to love that person over there. Lord, is there something You want me to share with that person today? You want to live a life of faith? Talk to Jesus. Talk to God every moment of your day if you can. You've got to be concentrated on what you're doing, but talk to Him as you do it. Number three, thank Him for what He has done. Don't just say, God, give me this, help me with this, do this. Take a step back and say, God, thank You for what You have already done. You gave Your Son, He came and died upon a cross for my sin. And if it doesn't overwhelm you, we need to stop and pause for a moment and say, God, help me to remember what You have achieved through the cross for me. Thank Him for what He's done. Praise Him for what He's done. I praise God I was able to do another bike race yesterday. It was fantastic. God is good. Give Him praise for what He's done. Let's keep reading in verse 7. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He's the one that got to share the gospel with the people of Colossae. He is Christ's faithful servant, and He is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. See, again, it's not us. It's God's Spirit in us as we put our faith in Him. So we have not stopped praying for you. Since we first heard about you, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you'll grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power. Just think about that for a moment. All of God's glorious power. May you be strengthened with it. Lost my place. So you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Jesus is the Savior of the world. For anyone who comes to him, he will not turn you away. He loves you and he calls you. He says, come to me. Come to me. Acknowledge your sin. I will forgive your sin and I will welcome you into my family and you will have eternal life. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came to rescue us from sin and darkness, but he also wants to lead us on from this point. He doesn't just want you to go, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And then you know God's forgiven you, and then you kind of go, awesome, thank you, Jesus. And then you just go on the rest of your life going, that's awesome, that's great, and kind of just struggling through life without him from that point. He wants to help you in this life. Now, God wants to, did you hear this, kid? God wants us to grow and thrive. He wants you to grow and thrive through anything we go through, whatever we go through. And that's a big statement. Paul prays that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays that they would have complete knowledge of his will, that they would be strengthened with all of the glorious power of God, that they would have patience and endurance and even joy through all that they go through. And can I be really honest? Even as I say that, as I look around the room, I know that some of you have been through some really, really hard things. And I can't begin to imagine the emotions and the feelings and the pain that you have experienced through those things that you've been through. I can't claim to understand. Every one of our journeys is different. I just want to say, I believe it also breaks God's heart to see the pain that we go through. He created a good and perfect world, but all of us have chosen to sin, and sin has corrupted and brought a lot of pain in this world, and it breaks God's heart to see the pain that you go through. Life can be really, really hard at times, and maybe you're going through that right now. But I just want to point out again that Paul knew what it is to go through hard times. Have you got those pictures there? He went through storms. He got shipwrecked. He's probably thinking, God, I'm trying to do your mission. What's the deal? He gets locked up in prison for preaching about Jesus. He's locked up. He's put in chains. He's whipped and beaten. Paul went through some hard times. He's stoned for preaching about Jesus. They picked up stones and it was miraculous that he even survived. Paul knew what it was to go through trials and suffering. And yet he prays through all that you go through, people of Colossae, people of the church, people at CFC Colac or wherever you're watching us from online, God is able to strengthen you. God is able to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, and he is able to strengthen you with his glorious power. To give you peace, to give you hope, to give you joy, even through the storms that we go through. I just want to read verse 9 to 12 again. It says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. I wonder if we can say that about one another. I pray that we can. Thanks again, Corey, for that app. That prayer app, if you haven't downloaded it already, get it and remind yourself to pray for each other. So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. You know, Jesus gave his life for us and he put us in a family, his church. Kids, there's another pointer. God put us in his family, the church. He has joined us together. Ephesians talked about us being fitted together as living stones, together as the temple of God, declaring his glory, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to support each other, to encourage each other, to be together as his church. And I want to read a quote that it's one of these things I'm going to say that I always get nervous about saying, that I don't offend anyone, but I feel like we've got to hear the spirit of what this is saying. So if you're offended, please don't feel like you're being targeted. But hear the heart of this quote from John Piper. I'm going to read it to you now. There is a great gulf between the Christianity that wrestles with whether to worship at the cost of imprisonment and death, and the Christianity that wrestles with whether the kids should play soccer on a Sunday morning. I'll just read it again, put it back up. There is a great gulf between the Christianity that wrestles with whether to worship at the cost of imprisonment and death, and you know there's people doing that even right now, risking their life for coming together to pray with, to worship with, and encourage other believers in Christ. And the Christianity that wrestles with whether the kids should play soccer on a Sunday morning or fill the blank with whatever other temptation you might be wanting to fill it with. There's times nurses, doctors, I thank God that if I ever have a heart attack on a Sunday morning, there'll be a nurse and a doctor there to help me. There's times and things that we need to do to love and support one another as a community. And I'm not trying to put a condemnation on anyone, but what is our heart for his people? Do we have a love for the people of God that God has for his people? Do we have God's heart? I'll leave you with that question. I want to play a clip from a movie. It's an old one. And it's called Searching for Bobby Fischer. Has anyone seen it? It's an oldie. In the movie, it's the big final chess match. Do we have any chess fans? Anyone that loves playing chess? Any kids over school holidays? Yep, fantastic. And the boy in the movie, Josh, he's been playing in these tournaments and it's finally made it to the big final match. And in this clip, we hear his coach. He's talking with his dad. And we also sort of hear his thoughts even as we watch this clip. And we see this one moment where in his training, Josh and his coach is sitting at the table and his coach just, it seems quite dramatic in the clip, I'm just like explaining it for you. He kind of clears the board. He wipes all the pieces off the board. And it's so that as he looks at the board, he's not distracted by the pieces and where they're at right now. He doesn't want him to be distracted by what's the reality right now, because he wants him to be able to see the things and the moves and what's coming up ahead. And with that in mind, actually one other thing, the coach, he keeps saying this phrase, don't move until you see it. Don't move until you see it. And I believe God wants us to see his love for us. And even as you hear him saying it, don't move until you see it. Just let that be a prayer almost as you listen and watch this clip. Don't move until we see it. Lord, help me see your love. Let's take a moment to look at this clip. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. was a mistake.
What was a mistake? Who made a mistake?
Look deep, Josh. It's there. It's 12 moves away, but it's there. You've got him. Take his pawn with your pawn. G takes F6, forking his bishop and rook. Don't take back with your bishop. You'll need that to guard yourself. He'll take back, either with his bishop or his knight. When he does, and this is the hard part, sacrifice your rook. Capture him on F6 and give him check. His king has to take your rook. He takes F6. Give him a knight check on D7, working his king and his rook. He'll move to safety. King F5. Take his rook with your knight. He'll take back with his king. And you got him. Don't move until you see it.
I can't see it.
Don't move until you see it.
I can't see it.
Don't move until you see it.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Here, I'll make it easier for you. He's got it.
He's got it. How do you know he's got it?
He's got it.
What? Come on, move. What's that supposed to mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
He's offering him a draw.
I'm offering you a draw. Draw, you've got to be kidding. You've lost. You just don't know it.
That's all right, we'll just watch it once, that's okay. I love that line at the end. You've lost. You just don't know it yet. I love that moment. He puts up his hand and offers him mercy and grace because he sees the end of what's going to happen. You know, Satan wants us to feel like he's won. He wants us to feel like we're no good. He wants us to think we're not good enough, to think we're a loser. But the truth is, he's already lost. Satan wants you to feel like you're under pressure, that you've got no way forward, but he's already lost. Kids, if you didn't hear that, Satan's already lost. Through faith in Jesus, we've already won no matter what happens. We have an eternity to look forward to with him in heaven, and we have his Holy Spirit with us now that we have already won through faith in Jesus. Just like Paul writes to the people of Colossae, reminding them of God's power to change lives. He's able to change our lives and to change the world. Just like Paul wanted the people of Colossae to know, and I believe God wants us to know, God wants you to know today that with Jesus at the center, we can't lose. If Jesus is your hope, if your confidence is in God, if your faith is in him, nothing can overcome you because he has already won the battle. We have the victory through Christ. No matter what might come against you, God has already won the battle. And by the way, you don't have to offer your hand of a draw to the enemy. You can just forget about that. I wonder if there's any Iron Man fans. Anyone like the movie Iron Man? Anyone seen the movie? He gets these special powers. He has this little thing in his core. I don't know what's it called. The thing in his heart. And it gives him these special powers, and it's wonderful, he thinks, until he suddenly finds out actually it's killing him. And sometimes in life, we have things that we think are giving us life. We think they're wonderful, that we think they're giving us some pleasure, we think they're giving us some joy. But then we realize, actually, that thing that I was enjoying, I was putting my faith in, it's actually killing me. People can find comfort in all the wrong things, and it's actually bringing death into their life. But in the movie, Iron Man, he suddenly realizes this thing in his heart is killing him. And he has to find the answer to what is it that's going to take out this stuff within me and make me strong again. And he finds it and he puts it in and he has this power and this freedom that he's never known. I want to read a verse from Ezekiel 36. I'll ask the band to come as I read this. Ezekiel 36. It's one of my favorite verses. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. God's speaking, he says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you, so you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." God wants to take out our stony heart of sin and give us a new heart, to give us a new heart with new and right desires, to fill us with His Spirit, to lead us and guide us, to strengthen us, to help us, to give us a spirit of peace and joy when the storms rage all around us. You know, sometimes we seem to hold on to that stony, stubborn heart and be like, "No, God, I just want to hold on to that bit." But this morning, I just want to invite you to say, "God, I give you my heart. God, I give you my life again." Maybe, kids, maybe you've grown up in church, but you've never come to that point and you've said, "God, I'm sorry for what I've done. And I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. And please, God, give me that new heart with new and right desires. I don't want to do that other stuff anymore." This morning, I want to give you an invitation to say, "God, I give you my heart. Please fill me again." Or maybe you feel like you've drifted and there's things you've been grabbing onto again and kind of sort of shoved back in there again. It's like, "No, I want this." Give it over to God today. I just want to read those verses one last time. "I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit, a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you and you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Can we stand as we pray together now? Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you do not wait for any of us to earn your forgiveness. But Jesus, you came and gave your life for us upon the cross. God, I thank you that we do not have to try and try and try to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, Lord God. But as we put our faith in you, you change our heart. And God, I pray that you would give us a love for your word. God, that you would give us such a longing just to enjoy your presence and talk to you day by day, moment by moment, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, that we would just have a knowledge of your presence, that we would just love to just commune with you throughout our days. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way in us. Lord, we could pray for the world around us, but today, God, we pray that you would change our hearts, renew a right spirit within me.